Assalamu alaikum, we're recording. When I say assalamu alaikum, I mean what? Peace be upon you. So I'm saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam for you? No. I'm saying assalamu alaikum, meaning? Just meaning in language. No, peace be upon you, that's Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's put this one aside.
Huh? It's kind of like, I'm not going to mind you, you don't mind.
Perfect answer. Can you say it again?
It means that like I'm not going to harm you, you don't need to harm me.
Yeah, when I say salam alaikum, I'm telling you I'm not going to harm you. I'm coming in peace. Okay, I'm not going to harm you. And then you say, wa alaikum as-salam, me as well. I'm coming in peace. I will receive you in peace and you're not going to harm me. So, can I say assalamu alaikum and then start punching? That will violate it. So, can we say to Allah, can we greet Allah and say assalamu alaikum?
No.
Why not?
We do. Because Allah is going to beat you up.
Yeah. Huh?
Wait, didn't Prophet Muhammad show Allah didn't say tahiyyatul?
Yes, we're coming there. We're coming there. Okay? Now, when you see Allah, can you say assalamu alaikum? And the answer is no. Because assalamu alaikum means don't be afraid. Don't worry. I'm not going to harm you. So when you say assalamu alaikum to Allah, basically you're telling Allah what?
I'm not going to harm you.
Don't be scared. I'm not going to harm you. Don't be afraid. That is wrong, right? So ignorant people will only say Allah assalamu alaikum. However, how do you greet Allah? Huh? At-tahiyyatu lillah. Do we read this somewhere in the prayer? We say at-tahiyyatu lillah. When the Prophet Muhammad, when did this come from? You know where did it come from?
It came from when the story of Prophet Muhammad on the wrong, and then he went to Jerusalem. After that, he went to Jerusalem, and then he crossed the line. So Prophet Muhammad went on there, and when he was talking to Allah, he said at-tahiyyatu lillah, he'll follow back.
That's perfect. That's right. When Prophet Muhammad went to meet Allah in heavens, he said to Allah, At-tahiyyatu lillah, was-salawatu wa-tayyibat. Allah replied and said, As-salamu alayka, yes. As-salamu alayka, ayyuhal-nabi. Yes. As-salamu alayka. Allah says to Prophet Muhammad, As-salamu alayka. But Prophet Muhammad says, At-tahiyyat. Okay? So, Allah says, As-salamu alayka, ayyuhal-nabi. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now, we greet each other, we can say salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You see, you can say salamu alaykum, or you say salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Which one gives you more hasanat? For each word you get, for each letter you get 10 hasanat. Which is?
Compared to like all your hasanat.
I'm sorry, again?
You said it's like 10 hasanat, but like compared to like all the hasanat you earn,
yes.
Is that like very...
10 points, sort of. 10 points, okay? So,
isn't every letter you read able to add like 10 hasanat?
Yes. And when you greet your brother or sister, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, get hasanat.
In our Arabic class, you taught us about the letters like fi, ala. Mm-hmm. Does it mean like fi is 10, or is it like fat 10 and then yeah 10?
Fi is fat, yeah.
Yeah, but what you taught us about how fi is a letter. Like
yes, fi is a letter.
So when you
No, we're talking about letter, like not fi min, no. Just one letter. Okay. Now, what the angels said something. What did the angels say? Huh? And then everybody said, نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Got it? So, Prophet greeting Allah. Allah greeting the Prophet. Angels are participating. Okay? As by saying, Ashhadu as-salamu alayna, which are the angels. وعلى عباد الله الصالحين the righteous people. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Okay? Now this is one of the meanings. When Khadija radiallahu anha was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? And angel Jibreel came to him. So he told him, give the good news to Khadija that she will have a mansion in Jannah built of qasab. You know, like qasab is a very precious
stone.
Yeah, very precious, yeah. Built from qasab, لا صخب فيه ولا نصب, means there will be no noise over there. And there would be no one gets tired. Or like nothing will bother you. Okay, so the house will be very peaceful. The mansion is going to be very peaceful. So when the Prophet said, Allah is giving you salam and giving you the news, she did not say, and read salam to Allah. She did not say that. She said, Allah is as-salam. Allah is as-salam. From him comes the salam. To him belongs the salam. Allah is as-salam. You know, salam is one of the names of Allah, right? Allah is as-salam. To him belongs the salam. Okay? Belongs the salam. And from him comes the salam. He's the salam. As-salam belongs to him. As-salam comes from him. Yes.
So is that basically what you're saying? So he is all peaceful? And then he deserves all of it, and he gives off peace to others.
He is the owner of the salam. From him comes the salam. To him belongs the salam. Yani he owns the salam. He's the salam and he owns the salam. The name is salam. And he, from him, that's his nature, that he's the salam. And from him came salam, and to him belongs salam. Okay, there is one city. There is one city is called Dar es Salaam. You know where is it?
Oh yeah, I think
it's Jerusalem. You know where did the name Jerusalem came from? Dar es Salaam. So it gets twisted from Dar es Salaam into Jerusalem. Just like the name Isa gets twisted from Isa into Jesus. Just like the name Musa got twisted from Musa into Moses. Okay? But Musa is the actual name. Because they speak a language, they speak the Hebrew language that he speaks, it has Ain. So they don't have Moses, they have Musa, just like us, okay? Now, Allah has a house of As-Salam, called House of As-Salam, Bayt As-Salam, okay? What is this? Dar es Salaam. Allah has Dar es-Salaam. What is the Dar es-Salaam that Allah has? What is it? The Jannah. So one of the names of Jannah is Dar es Salaam. Because when you go there, you have nothing but salam. Nothing but peace. Nothing but happiness. Nothing disturbs you or bugs you or like disturbs you, peace of mind. It's all peace. Now, knowing that Allah is As-Salam, He's the true owner of Salam, let me tell you a story and show you the difference between the Salam given by people and the Salam given by Allah. You remember the magicians of the Pharaoh?
Yes.
What happened when they discovered that? You know the story? Who doesn't know it? You know the story of Musa? Yes, Musa. Yes. The magicians, bowed down to Musa and insulted the Pharaoh. So the Pharaoh said, I'm going to take my salam away from you. When they first came, when they first came to him, he said, I'm going to grant you salam. I am going to grant you salam, meaning that I'm going to protect you from any harm. I'm going to secure you from any harm. Okay? When they came first. After they bowed down to the Prophet, bowed down to Allah, he said, I'm going to take away the security, the salam that I've given you, and I'm going to replace it with a severe punishment, which is cutting right hand, left leg together. Yes. And then crucify them. So for each one of them, hand and leg are cut off and crucified. There were so many of them. If I recall correctly, there were 6,000 or something like that.
So what did you, if that was against Musa and then bowed down to Prophet Musa and they figured out that?
Not to Prophet Musa. Bowed down and said, we believe in the Lord of Musa. So the salam coming from the Pharaoh, or the security coming from the Pharaoh, is it a real security?
No.
Is it a real salam?
Something that he says.
So what's the difference then between the salam given by Allah and the salam given by a tyrant like the Pharaoh?
No, the difference is that Allah, when he says a salam, or when he gives salam, he actually means it. He's not like going to take it away, or he's not going to like mess with it. Unlike the Pharaoh, who like used it to like show his power.
Exactly. Let me add my part on that, to that. What you said is correct, but let me add to it. The salam of the Pharaoh is a temporary, short-term salam for in this life. But what will happen, and remember, this is round number one, and there is round number two. What is round number two? The Day of Judgment, right? So, any salam given by any king, or any leader, or any, you know, any person, it is salam only where? In this life. How about the next life?
Nothing.
No salam.
Except Allah.
No salam. So what kind of salam you're giving me now that I end up in round number two in hellfire? What kind of salam is this? Okay? This is not real salam. This is a disaster. This can't be salam. That you give me, say, you're secured in this life and the next life I get thrown in hell? No, thank you. Keep your salam for yourself. And that's the salam that, like, the mafia leader can tell you, okay, I give you salam. Nobody from the mafia going to harm you. And we're going to defend you. A tyrant leader will say, okay, I'm going to give you salam. Nobody will be able, I'm going to secure you. Nobody is going to able to harm you. And I'm going to protect you. Okay? Now, if you do that and support those guys, then you're not getting the real salam. You're leaving, you're giving up the real salam in the Day of Judgment. You're giving it away. Okay? And then you're getting a fake salam instead. And this is the stupid thing. To replace salam in the Jannah with salam, short-term salam on earth. How about if he's a righteous king? And say, if you do a good deed, I'll give you my salam. Is that a good salam or a bad salam? Yes.
It's a good salam, but you should make sure you're keeping Allah's salam more. Like
exactly.
Allah is more important, but it's good if you have salam from people on earth.
Exactly. So, the righteous person will give you salam when you do good deeds. So that salam is what? Double salam. Salam in round number one and salam in round number two. But if somebody asks you, a tyrant asks you to kill, you're a police, asks you to kill, or a tyrant asks you to rob people. Yes?
That wouldn't be a salam. It would be salam in this life. but you'll be thrown in hellfire because you won't be able to repent because you stuck up on their salam.
Exactly. So here is the criteria. If the salam granted from a righteous person who loves Allah and tell you to do righteous deeds, then that's the good salam. But if a bad guy or a mafia leader or a tyrant or one of those ugly things, ugly people, give you salam, say, okay, kill this guy, you get my salam. You don't kill him, I'm going to kill you. Then you say, fine, kill me. Kill me. You know, what is it? You know, you're not going to, like, it's like, duh, are you stupid? You wanted me to kill the guy, you give me salam in this life and get in trouble in the next life? So, this is the application of the name of salam. This is how you apply it in your life. So, whenever, ever, you're asked to do something haram by a mighty person, okay, and he's promising you security and salam, tell him, keep it to yourself. I'm not going to do something wrong. Even if you're tortured, well, if you can take it, well, when you're tortured, you're forced. And Allah forgive the Muslims or the people when they are forced to do something. If you curse Allah, forced to curse Allah, no harm, no problem. If you're forced to denounce Islam, no problem. As long as your heart, yes, as long as your heart, otherwise, it's the opposite. So it's like, okay, you want me to curse? Okay, fine. Huh, I curse. All right. What else do you want? But my heart is what? Is, yes. Yeah. So as long as your heart is fine, Allah and the Prophet Muhammad don't care. You know who, what happened? You know who and specifically was told that first? By Prophet Muhammad. He said, as long as your heart is fine, then you're okay. Don't worry. And then he told him, if they force you again, go ahead and curse me again. Huh?
It was a child whose parents were...
No. Oh, you're talking about child or son?
I'm talking about child.
No. Okay. There is a family... Go ahead.
It was the first woman martyr and her son?
Yes! Wait. The family of... Yes. The family of Yasser. It has the person is Yasser. His wife is who remembers the name of her wife? Sumayya. And the child is Ammar. Not a child, a grown up guy. But all of those people were slaves. I'm going to take a picture. Uh-huh. You remember the story now?
Yeah.
I'm
sorry. I was
fine
between all my
friends. It is the whole thing. So, basically, they killed his mother. Abu Lahab, you know, used the spear to... You know, to stab her in her private area.
Oh.
Such an awful way. Okay? Now, the father was tortured to death. The mother was tortured to death. And all of them were tortured next to each other so they can see each other. Then, when the father died, the mother died, which is the first Shahida in Islam. Okay, Sumayya. When the mother died and the father, when the mother was killed and the father died, they came to him and say, huh, are you going to curse Muhammad or not? He said, yes, I curse Muhammad. They said to him, okay, we'll let you go. When they let him go, he went crying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, they cursed me. I'm sorry, they asked me to curse you. He said, how's your heart? He said, my heart's fine. He said, don't worry. If they force you again, feel free to curse as much as they want.
What do you mean by curse?
Like la'na ala Muhammad.
Like hate on him?
La'na means curse on him. Okay. The word curse means, I'm coming to you, The word curse means exclusion from the mercy of Allah. So shaitan is cursed, meaning that the mercy of Allah will not include him. That's the meaning of curse. So when I say curse you, means that you may Allah exclude you from his mercy. Okay? Yes.
Wait, so the son was the one who was, because the parents died, so it was the son who was...
Ammar. His name is Ammar. So, Sumayya, Yasir, Ammar. Sumayya, Yasir, Ammar. Okay? So, that's an example of if you're forced. But if you're not forced, don't listen. Okay. If Allah tells you, by the way, if someone comes and tells you that Allah eats, how do you respond to that? You say Subhanallah. Subhanallah means Allah above and beyond what you're saying. Allah is way much better than what you're saying. If I tell you that Allah eats, what do you say?
Subhanallah.
So Subhanallah can be used in two situations. The first situation is when you hear something mentioning Allah in a bad way, say Subhanallah. If somebody tells you that Allah came down to earth in the form of a man and he let a bunch of criminal thugs beat him up hard and torture him and insult him and then kill him on a cross, what do you say? Subhanallah. You say Subhanallah. Okay? Allah is... How is that related to the name of Salam? Because the other meaning of the name of Salam... Yes?
People like you said, the story of when they were forced to curse. Because if you were forced, it's not your will. You didn't have a choice to do it. So he's being peaceful and merciful and not like putting you in hellfire for something you were forced to do.
Yes. Any contract you sign, even in Islamic Sharia, Islamic law, any contract you sign by force is invalid. If you marry a person by force, if somebody's forcing you, it's invalid.
When you're invalid, the marriage isn't actually real.
Invalid, yeah, it's not marriage. The marriage contract is nullified. Nullified, cancel it. That doesn't mean anything. Okay? So anything by force is invalid. You got this part? So how is that related to the name of Salam? How is this related to the name of Salam? The Salam means another meaning. Other than the security, in addition to say security from harm, security. Salam is security from harm. The other meaning of salam comes from the word salima. Salima means flawless. Flawless. No flaws. So, who is the one without flaws?
Allah.
So, the second meaning is flawless. Allah doesn't have any flaws in him. So, any one describes Allah the way, give a derogatory image about Allah, or like low image. Describes Allah in low image, you say? Subhanallah. Now, there is one thing. Would Allah do everything? Allah does everything?
He can and he doesn't.
Yes, he can, but he doesn't. That's good. Can you explain more? Huh?
So, when people say that, you see, he has a son, the Trinity thing, he doesn't. He can, but he doesn't.
Can you repeat that?
Or let me get it better. They say he doesn't eat. They say he eats. He can, but he doesn't.
Yes, he can, but he doesn't. Would Allah lie?
He can, but he doesn't.
Yes, because it's not appropriate for his majesty. So put this in, very important. Can't do injustice, why? Because this is not appropriate for his majesty. He will not will to do injustice, yes?
Another reason is because it nullifies the meanings of some of his names.
Exactly.
Let's say he tortures somebody for no reason, that nullifies the name unmerciful.
Exactly.
If he stops creating stuff before the day of judgment, that nullifies the name and call it the creator.
That's right. Allah will contradict himself. His names will contradict each other. Okay? And describing Allah with names that contradicting each other is a low image of Allah. If you describe Allah in a low image, then you're mushrik. So basically, the Jews, they say there's one God. So what's the problem then if they're saying one God like of us? Huh?
Like the way they explain their God, and plus they don't have like some of our prophets, like Muhammad and the prophets after.
That's right. The realization of God, the way they perceive God, who is God, it's against the salam. They say Allah make mistakes. They say Allah regrets his mistakes. They say Allah discovers the future, like we discover the future.
He doesn't regret because he has
yes. And I remember that in the Torah, I think Old Testament or New Testament, I think it's Old Testament, that Prophet Nuh is, Allah said first, I'm going to drown everybody. Allah said to Prophet Nuh, I'm going to drown everybody, including you and the believers. So Prophet Nuh said, why? Why you want to do that? What have we done wrong? And he kept arguing with Allah until Allah changed his mind. He said, okay, fine. I'm going to save you with the believers. Okay? Is this? How is this related to Name As-Salam? Yes?
This is related to the Name As-Salam because Allah, if he actually did that, if he just had no reason to drown the people, he would like contradict some of his names and that wouldn't make him godless.
If I may add to what you said, if Allah, what was it? I'm sorry. Yes. You're giving a low image of Allah. Why? Because you're saying that Allah changes his mind. Okay? So, the unity of Allah, yes.
Just like how you said, just to describe just the name of Salam, just to add off what she said, it also, the secondary meaning of Salam is flawless, and if he drowned everybody, that'd be a flaw.
No, yes, that's true. But what I'm saying is that the way they described Allah, that Allah changes his mind, and that Prophet Nuh fought with Allah, and as a result of fighting with Allah, what happened? Allah changed his mind. Is this a low image of Allah or high image?
Yeah, because that's saying his creation can...
He's not as-salam. Yeah. He's not flawless anymore. If he makes mistakes... So that's the problem with the Jewish faith from Islamic point of view, is that the image of Allah is low image.
And the image of the Prophet, they don't have all the prophets.
Yeah, but the image of Allah is a low image. It's not a good image. So they don't view Allah as the salam. No. They say Allah is not a salam. He has flaws. Okay? So unity, which is making, or monotheism. In monotheism, do you guys know what monotheism
yeah,
is?
Yeah, it's like multi-god.
Of one God.
Polytheism.
Yeah. Polytheism was multi-gods.
Exactly. Monotheism. You're following us?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Monotheism. There is a monotheism in quantity and monotheism in quality. Okay. So, monotheism in quantity, it means that Allah is what?
One.
Is that enough?
Yeah.
No. There is monotheism in quality that you say Allah is flawless. So, it's not enough to say there's only one God. It had to, your perception of this God has to be based on the name As-Salam, means flawless. Flawless. There is also one story I remember I heard about that wasn't either the Old Testament or the New Testament, I'm not sure. I think it's the Old Testament, yeah. Yes, the Old Testament. Yes, the Old Testament. That Allah fought with Prophet Jacob.
Yeah.
Yes, Prophet Yaqub. So Yaqub told him, give me the name of Israel. He said, no, I'm not giving you the name of Israel. You have to give me the name of Israel. No, I'm not giving you the name of Israel. Then they fought. And then Prophet Yaqub was able to get Allah in the lock position. Like this. Okay?
Where'd they get that from?
Like this. And then Allah said, let me go. The sun is setting. The sun is setting. I need to take care of the sun. I need to make the sun set and I need to take care of the business. that I'm running this universe. So he said, are you going to give me the name of Israel? He said, I'll give you the name of Israel. He said, you can go.
That's so weird. I mean, that's so strange.
This is what I remember that I've read there. I can double check for you, or you can go to Bible search and check for it. Yeah.
Because if Allah created the prophet, can't he get the prophet? There's so many things wrong with it that, like, even if you say that, like, if the prophet took Allah by headlock, isn't Allah able to just get out because he is his creation? But then he can also make the sun rise and, like, do anything.
Well, the image of Allah, just the fact that he fought and he was... You know, just like arguing or fighting, Allah doesn't argue.
Allah can disintegrate him without even looking, without even doing it, without barely even thinking about it.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. But so we have a problem with the Christian faith. We have a problem of Trinity. Trinity means slicing Allah into three. Trinity, three: the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Okay, so Allah cannot be divided. If I say Allah is one, al-wahid, yes.
He's only one, like the Trinity thing.
Isn't that the Surah?
If you say he's al-wahid, and if you're considering monotheism, which is one God, how would you have three?
Yes.
It would be only the like Allah, just one God. Yeah, he can't be the Son, because who's the Son of? That makes no sense. The Holy Ghost. Okay, if it was the Holy Ghost, then he created himself.
Yes. So basically what we're trying to say here is that if you believe that Allah is a Trinity, okay, you are basically saying that the Trinity, by the way, for us Muslims, the Father is God. The Son is Prophet Isa, the man. The Holy Ghost is Angel Jibreel. So, for us, we say God is the Father, the Son is Prophet Isa, and the Spirit, Holy Ghost, is Jibreel, Angel Jibreel.
What about Isa's mother? Don't they also like...
No, they don't include it. They just call her the Mother of God.
Give her a holy name, like the Virgin Mary.
Or the Mother of God. You know? So, but what they did is that they combined these and made Allah out of three components. So, what is the difference between Wahid and Al-Ahad? You remember you say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ أَلْقَ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. And then Allah says, there's only one God. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Yes.
Oh, Ahad is like there's only one God, but then Al-Ahad is like he's the first. The one.
He's what?
Al-Ahad is like the first.
No, this is Al-Awwal. Al-Awwal means the first. Yes.
Basically, the way to like disprove Trinity is that they say that, oh, there's only one God. We're monotheistic. But then they're technically believing in three. So that kind of takes away the meaning of monotheistic. So that means they're polytheistic. And they didn't realize that. And they still claim to believe in one.
Yeah, here is what happened. The name Ahad is different than the name Wahid. Yes.
Wahid means one in Arabic, which is the number one. Al-Ahad is the one.
No, Wahid is one. Okay, but you can have one car, but the car can be, yes.
Not the only car, so that's the one and the only?
You can have one car of a kind. One of a kind. So when you say Wahid means Allah is one of a kind. Like one is Allah, nobody's like him. Okay?
But no one can be like
him. Or can be like him. Okay? Or was like him. But when we say Allah is Ahad, it means that قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. Ahad means what? Okay. Let's say this is one desk. Can I divide this desk into pieces? Why not? I can divide. But it's dividable. Like, it's one desk, but it's dividable. Same thing with cars. It's one car, but it's dividable. I can divide it into pieces. Okay? Ahad means unit that cannot be divided. So, Ahad means the unit, the perfect, flawless unit that cannot be divided. So that's why here's the problem here. When you divide God, so our problems with our cousin Christians is that We don't divide God. God is Ahad. Do Christians say Allah is Ahad?
No.
So the name Ahad is what is, you know, he's the point of this. And there's a lot of things we can say about the Trinity. Okay? But I have to let you go now. Okay? Assalamu alaikum. Yes, the envelope.
Because it helps you guys stay awake.